a civil war inside Israel. Welcome to Skywatch TV. This is a web exclusive. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining us today to talk about the religious and perhaps political divisions within the state of Israel and the religious and political implications thereof is author and lecturer Avi Lipkin. Avi, welcome back to Skywatch TV.
Great to be back with you, especially after our wonderful time at the Dead Sea.
Yes, that was wonderful. We had it was a privilege and a blessing to spend the Shabbat and have you Shabbat. I'm still, you know, Gentile, trying to pronounce the Hebrew. Seeing you, basically give us a basic instruction, our group, on what takes place at a typical Shabbat meal. So that was really, it was really wonderful.
So we should always be meeting either in Israel at the Dead Sea or here at your studio or other places too.
It was maybe not the Holy Land, but maybe the second Holy Land is here in the Ozarks.
Missouri.
So there we go. Absolutely. Yeah. You've been... You're not afraid to speak your mind, and you say some things that run contrary to, I guess, common knowledge or what it passes for received wisdom amongst political pundits here in the United States.
Right.
And we Americans are pretty provincial. We don't look outside our borders as often as we should. We Christians think we know what's going on in the Middle East, but honestly, most of us, and myself included, don't really have a firm grasp of the differences, the divisions within Islam or Judaism. Politically, we know that there are some divisions going on in Israel because Benjamin Netanyahu was not able to form a coalition and so voted to dissolve the Knesset and have another snap election coming up September 17th. What is going on politically, but what's also going on inside the religious divisions in Israel that are contributing to this political divide?
Yes, there are deep undercurrents. And most people, Jewish and Christian, don't really know what's happening. They're not paying attention. I went to study at age 41 to 44, which was many, many years ago, to become a conservative rabbi of the conservative Jewish movement. And you have to remember, I've been in Israel 51 years. I'm an Israeli, but I'm still an American citizen. I'm still very American in the way I think. I have formed a Judeo-Christian political party called the Bible Bloc. Mm-hmm. We ran in the last elections and lost. We're running in the next election, September 17th. We're hoping we will win. And if not, then the next elections. Once the party's registered, it's forever. So we're going to keep plugging until we get the Christians and the Jews marching together for this party. Now, what I wanted to say is, and I think most of your viewers know the history of the Reformation. And what happened was that the Catholic Church, you can say until 1053 in the schism with the Orthodox Church in the East, the Catholic and the Orthodox Church are one church. So that's like 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. Then after the split, the Catholic Church reigned supreme in Europe for about 500 years. Mm-hmm. And then Martin Luther and King Henry of England, all these different leaders all of a sudden, you know what? We'll have our own state church. And then, of course, what happened was you had the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Huguenots and the Amish. You have all these diverse groups who became very, very strict in their understanding of the Bible. And they saw that their kings, their monarchs, their leaders were not following what the Bible was saying, but doing whatever they wanted to do and to be against the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. So they were persecuted by King Henry and by others. And they ended up coming over, you know, on the Mayflower and on other boats, risking those difficult ocean waters to get over to America.
Yeah.
And you had the American colonists. And, you know, I want you to know, I take the whole history of the American colonists and the United States of America as maybe the most important part in modern history of the human race. You know, after the Renaissance and after the Enlightenment, and for example, you had a French philosopher by the name of Voltaire. Mm-hmm. Now, Voltaire said, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend with my life your right to say it.
Right.
Now, he was ex-Catholic. He was excommunicated by the church. He hated the Jews. He was an anti-Semite. But he's my hero because that whole idea of I may not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend with my life your right to say it, this is at the heart of my faith and my belief as a Jew or as a Judeo-Christian or as a Westerner. And this has been basically the nature of the American people. And Alexis de Tocqueville himself said the greatness of American democracy 200 years ago was because of its specific American form of Christianity. Like, for example, in Europe, the Catholic Church was the enemy of the French Revolution. So a lot of revolutionaries hated the Catholic Church. And then, of course, the Marxists and the communists and the socialists hated the Orthodox Russian Church and the Catholic Church. But America, over the last 400 years, 500 years, has been a democratic country, or shall I say, constitutional republic. I'm always corrected about that. But this whole idea of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, this is really an extension of the Protestant Reformation, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, in Judaism, we have a mirror image of American Christianity here. In other words, the Reform and the conservative Jews are a mirror image of what the Protestants did regarding the persecution of the Catholic Church. Hmm. Okay, now we shift gears over to Israel. Israel is a country in which half the Jews come from Soviet socialist countries, where there is no tradition of democracy. The other half comes from Islamic countries, where there is no tradition of democracy.
And no separation of church and state.
Yeah. No separation. And basically, he who has the most bayonets, the most guns, controls. Now, when you look at the history of Israel, and Mark Twain himself said it in 1867, the country was so forlorn and so desolate, he said, if this is the promised land, I sure don't want it promised to me, because the Holy Land had been desecrated and destroyed by the Turks and all these other invading forces that were there. And when the Jews started coming home, what they found was malarial swamps, desert sand dunes, and lunar mountainscapes.
Right.
And so actually the people who really, really rolled up their sleeves and drained the swamps and planted the trees and restored the country was the socialist Jews. The socialists, I don't want to say Soviet Jews, but it was that same Marxist ideology that hated all religions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Christianity, you have in Ephesians the one new man in Christ.
Right, right.
And in socialism, in communism, the one new man in Marx.
Yeah.
So if you abolish God, everything is great. Then there's no more religion. There's no more hatred. Jew, Christian, Muslim, all together. But that has been proven also to be untrue. Okay. So now what happens is Israel is formed in 1948. And out of the 648,000 Jewish people in the land of Israel at that time, the majority were socialists, because the socialists made sure to it that Orthodox Jews and the nationalist Jews, I was with the nationalist Jews, were not allowed to come into the land, or came in with great difficulty and were persecuted by the Soviet socialists who were ruling Israel. Joseph Stalin was really, together with President Harry Truman, were the first two leaders to recognize Israel, because Russia thought that Israel was going to join the Soviet bloc, because Israel was so dominated by the red flag and by communists and socialists. But after independence, 1 million Jews came from Islamic countries, and there's no Soviet socialism there. Mm-hmm. Another 1 million Jews came from the concentration camps. They were definitely not Soviet socialists.
Right.
And over a period of years, the Israeli public became more and more and more right-wing and more more conservative and more more religious. Mm-hmm. In 1977, Menachem Begin came to power at the head of the Likud, which would be today considered like the Republican Party, whereas the Soviet Socialists would be considered the Democratic Party. Now, the difference between Israel and the United States is that here in America, you've got the Democrats and the Republicans fighting each other really very much. Mm-hmm. But in Israel, we have a tripartite. We have a three-way, we have a trinity. we have the Orthodox, we have the Soviet Socialists, and we have the Nationalists, many of whom are religiously observant or traditional, but not ultra-Orthodox. So here we have three groups. And the ultra-Orthodox are very pivotal. In other words, we have a joke in Israel. Why do we have elections in Israel? To decide who will form the coalition with the ultra-Orthodox. Because if it's 30-30-30, then you need 60% to get a ballpark figure. Now, in World War II, or before World War II, there were people like Zev Jabotinsky, who is my mentor. He's the mentor of Begin. He's the mentor of Netanyahu. And he warned the Jews in Europe in 1920, liquidate the diaspora or the diaspora will liquidate you. And the rabbis almost killed him. because he was telling the Jews, leave Europe, leave the rabbis' courts, you know, the rabbis' yeshivas and courts and synagogues, leave all that, go to Israel. The rabbis didn't want their constituents to leave.
Sure.
Because it's their power, it's their money. So Hitler came in and he cleaned up shop, killed everybody, or not almost everybody. So when the Jews who survived came home, Ben-Gurion, our first prime minister, said, we will allow military exemptions for 500 yeshiva students so in order to resuscitate the ultra-Orthodox yeshivas and the ultra-Orthodox communities. Mm-hmm. Now, Israel's population is now 10 times what it was then.
Right.
We're now 7 million. Now, I'm saying, again, ballpark figures. Mm-hmm. I don't want to confuse the listeners or the viewers. So how much is 10 times the exemptions that Ben-Gurion gave originally, 500? It should be 5,000, right?
Right, right.
Well, there are 125,000 yeshiva students.
Ah.
And they don't serve in the army. They don't pay taxes. And they get married, and they send the women to work, and the women bear the children, and the women do the work, and the men just study Talmud all day.
Hmm.
So something seems to me not correct. But what's happening is that the rabbis and their yeshivas and their synagogues are building up their own power pyramids, their own power structures.
Mm-hmm.
And who pays for this? The Israeli taxpayer. And then the government gives the money to the ultra-Orthodox because you want to form a coalition, you have to give the bribe money, the extortion money, to the ultra-Orthodox rabbis in order to be able to form a coalition. And Netanyahu failed in forming this most recent coalition because he was lacking one vote or one member of Knesset to do it, so we called for new elections. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see in this next election who is going to say, you know what, we don't want a theocracy in Israel. And Netanyahu, his concern is coalition, and his loyal ally are the ultra-Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I change subjects, and you'll see where this is going. When my wife and I built our house at age 57. We're 70 now. So we built the house 13 years ago. We went through some very tough times. We had a business. The business failed. We were renting for 20 years. Finally, God opened up a door, and we went to a community which was not Orthodox. It was just a mixed settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us very good conditions, and we built a beautiful house. God provided a house for us. And while the house was being built, the word got out. Avi and Rachel came to live here. And Avi, now listen to this, and you have to hold on when I say this. Avi is a Christian, messianic, reform, conservative Jew.
And that's like saying you've got a circle with four right angles on it.
And I heard it. I said, boy, these poor people, they have no idea because they're not from America. They either came from Soviet Socialist Europe or they came from Islamic countries. We just don't got no white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Jews in Israel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, and again, you have to remember, the Reform and conservative Jews like to stay in America. America is the greatest country on earth. And the synagogues, now, I don't know if you ever go to Jewish synagogues, but in Jewish synagogues, we have a beautiful service. We have professional cantors who sing beautifully. It's like going to a rock concert, as far as I'm concerned. I love going. And then the Torah, you don't read the Torah on Shabbat. You sing it, and I'm a professional Torah singer, and I'm a cantor.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere I go, I like to compare how these people sing and how they perform. And
sure.
Okay, then the rabbi gives his sermon. The rabbi's sermon is like a valedictorian speech. And, you know, you go to church, some of the pastors give such wonderful sermons, you go nuts with that. It's just worth to go to church just to hear the sermon, because it's so good. And then you have what we call in Israel the JFKs. JFK is just for Kiddush. They came only to eat. The Kiddush is the meal.
Gotcha. Okay.
At the end of the service, all of a sudden, hundreds of people show up, and there's this banquet every Shabbat. Wonderful food. There's lots of booze on the table because you don't drive on Sabbath.
Okay.
You can drink as much as you want. Everyone's drinking and eating. It's one big party, and this Kiddush goes on for like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And, you know, Jewish people work very hard. And so on the Sabbath, this is the one day of the week that everybody can just socialize be laid back. And now, what's the problem with that? Life is so good in America for the Jews that they will never want to leave America. They will always want to stay in America. And actually, American Jews or British Jews who go to Israel have a very hard time because the mentality there is very, very much either East European or from Islamic countries. I'm not saying that they're bad mentalities. I'm just saying that there's a very little understanding of the Western mentality. And in that sense, Jews are very, very close to Christians, Jews from America. We think like Americans. We think like Protestant American Christians.
Right.
Okay. Now, the problem here is this. Remember Voltaire? I might not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend with my life your right to say, well, in Israel, it's not really like that. And when you listen to the radio shows and talk shows and debates, everybody's cutting it to everybody else because the louder you yell, the better you are at presenting your and blocking other people from speaking. It's a very different culture in the Middle East. Now, I've been going to the synagogue where I live. It's dominated by the ultra-Orthodox Sephardic people. And I hear things that are so totally foreign to the American way of thinking. I want to say democratic, but everybody hates the Democrats now amongst our kind of people. Yeah. We don't hate them, but they hate us. But anyway, so but when I say I say democratic with a small d.
Right.
And I say liberal with a small l.
Okay.
Not liberals with a big L. We're Soviet socialists.
Gotcha.
So the rabbi came out with a book a month ago. And if people go to Facebook, Avi Lipkin and the Bible Block Party, or if they go to Dennis Avi Lipkin, I have two Facebook pages because I'm already over 7,000, 8,000 friends. I wrote an article about this on Facebook. And then I had to get on the plane after I was with you guys to come straight to America. And the rabbi said like this. The rabbi said, any Jew, okay, we're not talking about Christians now. We're talking about Jews. This is an internal thing of the Jews. The ultra-Orthodox Sephardic rabbi said, any Reformed Jew going into a Reformed temple is committing idolatry. And any Reformed Jew who goes into an Orthodox synagogue should not be given any honors. In other words, being called up to the Torah or doing something. In other words, it's kind of like they should be excommunicated. Now, why is this important? Okay, now, you know, and a lot of your viewers and listeners know, that many people have returned to Israel who have maybe one Jewish grandparent or two Jewish grandparents, or people are 100% Jewish, but they believe as Christians. They believe in the Messiah. And but they're allowed to because the law of return says that if you had one Jewish grandparent, you have the right to move to Israel. You'll be a Christian, but you have the right to move to Israel. And you know that many of these Messianic believers have been expelled from Israel, deported, and many others are now in processes and in stages of being expelled by the Ministry of Interior, which is controlled by the ultra-Orthodox. Okay? So in our campaign for the last elections, we went to this meeting in Arad, where there are many Messianics, and this beautiful lady comes up to me and says, I have a problem. I'm going to be expelled. I said, well, who are you? And she said, well, my family is Orthodox Jewish from New York. My brother is an Orthodox rabbi in New York. But I and my sister are believers. We came to Israel. We're Messianic. We believe in Jesus or Yeshua. And we are now living in Israel, and we're both going to be expelled because instead of saying Yeshu, which is like a curse
name
of Jesus, they say Yeshua, which means salvation.
Yes.
When you say that, you're a Christian. And so they are now in the process of being expelled. Now, I've heard this story dozens of times. And to go to a lawyer and to fight this in court is possible, but it costs a lot of money.
Sure.
And basically, you're living by the seat of your pants because you never know when they're going to grab you and kick you out. And any moment they come, the police comes, takes you to the airport, and you're gone. And things happen also to Catholic priests and Orthodox priests. They're spit on. They're hit in the streets by the ultra-Orthodox yeshiva students who are incited by the rabbis against the Christians. And sometimes there's even arson of TV studios and things which...
We saw that happen while we were there in Israel.
Correct.
Yes, one of the Christian television networks had its Jerusalem studio firebombed.
Yeah. So I mean, we don't know yet. Nobody's saying, was it the ultra-Orthodox or was it the Arabs? But I don't think it was the Arabs because the Arabs are looking to the Christians to be allies against the Jews. And we Jews are basically shooting ourselves in the foot by being against the Christians, because the Christians believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like the Jews, believe in the same Old Testament. And guess what? Messiah is a Jew from Israel who speaks Hebrew. So anyway, so if a Messianic is expelled from the land of Israel, most Israeli Jews say, well, he's not a Jew. He believes in Christ. Let him be kicked out. Or if Christians are persecuted, let them be persecuted, because we're Jews. We have 2,000 years of horrible history with the Christians of Europe, not
right.
America,
right.
with Europe.
Right.
But when this rabbi came out and said that Reform Jews are idolaters, guess what? I'm a conservative Jew. And they hate conservative just as much as they hate Reform.
Yeah.
And they hate the modern Orthodox with this kind of kippah even more than they hate us, because they see them as a threat to their power and their money. And also the ultra-Orthodox, they hate each other, because they're all fighting for who's going to get the government funds for their yeshivas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my point is this. We are now facing a civil war. Not today or tomorrow. But if this continues unchecked, it will come to a civil war. Because the ultra-Orthodox are between 15 to 20% of the population, Jewish population. But they are imposing their whole will on the whole Jewish people who don't agree with these things. And Netanyahu is kind of like a hostage to this political situation, which has gone unchecked. Like I said, from 500 yeshiva exemptions, they should have had 5,000. Mm-hmm. They have 125,000.
Now, one of the issues that was brought up in the negotiations among the right and center-right parties when Netanyahu was trying to put together his coalition was, Benny Gantz who was insisting that the exemption for ultra-Orthodox men be removed? I mean, in other words, they would be compelled to go into the IDF?
Benny Gantz and his left-wing party agree with that, but the I would say the tip of the spear was Avigdor Lieberman,
Lieberman.
The Israel Beitenu party, who has five members of Knesset. See, Netanyahu was sure that Lieberman would join his coalition with five, and then instead of 60, he'd have 65 out of 120, which
right.
would give him a coalition. But Lieberman, who represents a lot of these Russian immigrants, and you have to remember, Russian immigrants, many of them are either mixed Jewish-Christian people or they're atheists, and they are not liked at all by the rabbis. And the rabbis, there are many people who want to convert to Judaism,
mm-hmm.
and the rabbis make it impossible.
Hmm.
They make it so stringent, and you have to, you know, like if you're a Muslim, if you want to become a Muslim, God forbid, all you have to do is say La Allah illa Allah wa Muhammad Rasulullah. You're
right,
a Muslim.
Right. Yeah, the Shahada, and you're in.
And
yeah.
if you want to become a Christian, you have to get dunked.
Yeah.
So you get dunked, you get baptized. That's it. It's simple. You know, in Judaism, you have to go, you have to study for months. You have to come before a board of rabbis. You have to answer questions. And if they don't like how you look at them, and they don't like, and they don't look at you the right, they don't accept you as a Jew. It's not a given that if you want to convert to Judaism, you can convert. The official line is, it is our job to reject potential converts three times.
Hmm.
All of this goes back to the time of the Romans and before, you know, so... Because Israel was a missionary religion during the time of the Romans, but after the fall of Judea mm-hmm. In the final rebellion in 135,
Bar Kokhba
revolt, the Romans said anyone who preaches Judaism to Romans will be killed.
Mm.
It's kind of like in Islam. You go to a Muslim country and you preach Christianity to the Muslims, you'll be killed, and the Muslim will be killed. Now, what I wanted to say is, and I don't know how much we have very little time left.
Well, but we'll run over.
One of the things that, this is very important, this is one of the things I've been saying for about 20 years. I've been in the churches 30 years. I've been saying this 20 years, that the Islamic populations that are moving into the United States, Canada, and Europe, and Latin America are preparing for a massive Holocaust of the Jews and their Christian spouses. Now, if the ultra-Orthodox ban the Reform and conservative and non-ultra-Orthodox Jews and their Christian spouses from moving to Israel, they are sealing a death sentence for 10 million Jews and Christians from the United States and from the West. And I consider that a hate crime, which God will never forgive those rabbis. Mm. And so one of the purposes of the Bible Bloc Party is to come out in the defense of all of these Christians, Messianics, Reformed, Conservative, all Jews and Christians who believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they don't necessarily want to do what the ultra-Orthodox rabbis are forcing them to do.
Hmm. So with the elections coming up in September, how can American Christians be of any assistance or support to the Bible Bloc Party?
Actually, there's very little except for prayer. I mean, prayer avails much, but
right.
we cannot receive money anymore as contributions to the party. What we can do is Avi Lipkin, as an individual, still gets paid for lectures and receives contributions. But I have to declare that as income and mm-hmm. pay taxes on it. And then from that, I have to be very careful how I spend it because of the funding for parties and one of the laws about money laundering. And I recommend people go to my website, avilipkin.net, and buy my books to help support me. But today, the money for the party can only come from Israeli voters And the maximum is $500 a year per Israeli voter.
Mm-hmm.
And membership in the party is about $30 a year. So that's how we're going to raise our money.
Mm. Good rule. I think we should adopt that here in the United States. A similar thing, you know, foreign influence on our elections. Avi's the author of a number of books. He's also produced a number of DVDs. You'll find those all at avilipkin.net. September 17th is the election, and hopefully we'll have another opportunity to talk with you between now and then, certainly after then, to see how the party does. But yeah, politics is always the same everywhere. And as they say, when you mix religion and politics, you get politics. And that's certainly what's going on inside Israel right now. Now, Avi Lipkin is the head of the Bible Bloc Party. Again, his website, avilipkin.net. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Skywatch TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself for the most unique special offer in Skywatch TV history. We proudly announce the Vault Declassified Special Collection. For your $35 donation during this very limited time offer, you'll receive the new book by Pentagon analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, Progressive Evil: How Radicals Are Redefining America's Rights, Making Her Globally Irrelevant for the End Times. Derek P. Gilbert's astonishing new book, Bad Moon Rising: Islam, Armageddon, and the Most Diabolical Double Cross in History. And the groundbreaking new book from Carl Gallup's, Gods of the Final Kingdom: Unveiling the Secrets of the Raging Celestial War. And now, in a Skywatch TV first, directly from Tom Horn's personal private vault, you'll receive completely free of charge the never-before-released Tom Horn Secret Files USB flash drive. This drive is not available anywhere else and comes completely loaded with hundreds of files, including the world-exclusive, behind-the-scenes, off-the-record video interview regarding perhaps the biggest scandal and cover-up in U.S. history. So hot, we're unable to discuss the specific contents on network television. This two-hour investigative interview has not been released anywhere else and provides new forensic information connected to the Robert Mueller report that may soon send shockwaves through Washington, D.C. and around the world. The Tom Horn Secret Files USB flash drive also includes the Defender Films full-length two-time Telly Award-winning documentary movie Inhuman, the much-sought-after Defender Red Letter Edition Bible with expanded Apocrypha on Kindle and digital files, Eastward Bible software, brand-new video presentations from the Watchman Conference, a massive data library of e-books with tens of thousands of pages and hours of bonus interviews on video with leading prophecy experts. The Tom Horn Secret Files USB flash drive is valued at over $500. Yours now absolutely free when you order the Vault Declassified Special Collection from Skywatch TV. But we're still not done. Skywatch TV's off-the-record series is back by popular demand with the Gods of War edition on DVD, featuring exclusive interviews with Pastor Carl Gallups, Senior Pentagon Analyst Robert McGinnis, and Derek and Sharon Gilbert on the coming hyper-battle between the forces of God and the titans of biblical prophecy. This unprecedented collection, sold separately, holds a retail value of over $600. Yours now for only $35 plus shipping and handling. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime Skywatch TV exclusive offer that's too hot for network television, the Vault Declassified Special Collection. Available now at skywatchtvstore.com. Order online or call 1-844-750-4985.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.